Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. What other song's opening verse conjures up a more contented feeling of home and hearth? This 1946 ballad, composed by lyricist Robert Wells and singer-songwriter Mel Torme, is a good example of the Christmas in July syndrome. This slow tempo, wintry feeling song first saw the light of day on a broiling July afternoon. In his autobiography, It Wasn't All Velvet, Torme remembered driving to Wells's Toluca Lake home one excessively hot afternoon as the San Fernando Valley blistered in the July sun. Opening the front door and walking to the piano, Torme spotted a writing pad on the music board with the four opening lines of a Christmas ditty. When Wells appeared, dressed in tennis shorts and a white t-shirt, he said it was so hot that he wrote something to cool myself off, and all I could think of was Christmas and cold weather. Torme was captivated. He wrote, "I took another look at his handiwork and thought, this just might make a song." We sat down together at the piano, and improbable though it may sound, the Christmas song was completed about 45 minutes later. Wells added that his memories of chestnuts sold by vendors on the streets of New York contributed to his vision of the holiday. His inspiration was seeing a bag of chestnuts that his mother was planning to use for the stuffing for his birthday turkey dinner. The duo, who had been working together on the title song for Abbey's Irish Rose and for Magic Town, starring James Stewart and Jane Wyman, promptly drove into Hollywood and played it for several friends, including Nat King Cole. Cole and his wife Maria, as well as Capitol Record executives, saw a hit in the making. Cole recorded the song with strings and a studio orchestra, and the public loved it. By November 30th, 1946, it rose to number three on the charts and remained near the top for 7 weeks. Cole's biographer, James Haskins, wrote that Cole's version of the Christmas song set a new fashion in standard Christmas tunes, selling so well that other popular singers rushed to record it, but it was forever after associated primarily with Cole. He loved the song and always regarded it as one of his favorites. Take a listen to the Christmas song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas.
During his illustrious career, Cole also recorded some now forgotten Christmas songs, such as The Little Boy That Santa Claus Forgot and Take Me Back to Toyland. Of all the songs he wrote, Torme will forever be remembered for the Christmas song. When he was married in a judge's chambers on St. Thomas in 1984, the judge played the Christmas song just before the ceremony. Torme also wrote Christmas Was Made for Children, which was admired by Bing Crosby but is not often heard today. Well, as I think about this song and what it represents to me, there's so many things that cross my mind as I think of my dad, who sang in nightclubs and would sing around the house and just enjoy listening to his crooning and sharing. And think about what was going on back in the day when Nat King Cole was rising in popularity. He had singers around him like Tony Bennett and Perry Como and Bing Crosby and others that would sing and make you think of the holidays and enjoy, thoroughly enjoy what was going on. But it was a different world for Nat King Cole, being a black man in those times in America. But I heard a story that made me remember that God wants us to have hearts that have no racism in them at all. That we would be people that come alongside anyone, not worry about the color of their skin, but be what we ought to be with one another because of what Christ has done. Listen to this story about a lady and a young man and what happened. One night at 11:30 p.m., an older African-American lady was standing on the side of an Alabama highway trying to endure a lashing rainstorm. Her car had broken down, and she desperately needed a ride. Soaking wet, she decided to flag down the next car. A young white man stopped to help her, generally unheard of in those conflict-filled 1960s days. The man took her to safety, helped her get assistance, and put her into a taxi cab. She seemed to be in a hurry, but wrote down his address and thanked him. 7 days went by, and a knock came on the man's door. To his surprise, a giant console color TV was delivered to his home. A special note was attached. It read, "Thank you so much for assisting me on the highway the other night. The rain drenched not only my clothes, but also my spirits. Then you came along. Because of you, I was able to make it to my dying husband's bedside just before he passed away. God bless you for helping me and unselfishly serving others. Sincerely, Mrs. Nat King Cole." That young man had no clue who he was helping. And that's the kind of mentality we should have. We should think like Jesus, who emptied himself, who took on the form of a servant and saved us. Let's remember that.